everybody. Grab your Bible and a pencil and a journal, and maybe even a cup of coffee, and join in on our conversation. But first, I would like for you to write this down. John chapter 21, verses 5 through 10. Jesus therefore said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." They cast, therefore, and when they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in from the boat, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. And so when they got out upon the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught."
Hey everyone, welcome to Write This Down with Dot Bowen. My name is Kara. I am Dot's daughter, and every week we sit down together and we talk through truth and scripture. And I wanted to mention to you guys first that if you ever have any questions, I know I've mentioned this before, but wanted to remind you, if you ever have any questions, either during our conversation or, I mean, just if something pops up in your head while you're reading scripture on your own time, that we would love to know. And you can send those questions to hello@dotbowen.com. And also, if you enjoy these conversations, we would love it if you could leave us a review on the podcast platform that you listen on, because those reviews can help other women who want to know and love Jesus to find the Write This Down podcast. So in this episode, we are talking about John 21, which is a chapter that I really love. And we really talk about the transformation of Peter and this really intimate moment between Jesus and Peter, where Peter had just denied Jesus and Jesus meets him in that place. And so we're really glad that you're here, and we would love for you to pull up a chair and join in our conversation.
Hey, Kara.
Hey, Mom. How was your Easter?
Good, good.
I was with you, so I don't know why I asked that.
Yeah, yeah. He is alive, and it was great. It was great.
Good.
So
mine was great as well.
Good. Yeah, since we were together. But what I wanted to know is, we're going to talk about John 21. It's the last chapter in the book of John. And mm-hmm. I guess I have heard, rumor has it, that this is one of your favorite stories. I don't know that I read your favorite part of chapter 21. There's so much in that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's my favorite, which I did request that we talk about this. I know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have any thought to it. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I really want to talk about this because of this reason, like because of a certain reason. But I do like this story. It definitely is one that I really appreciate. I don't know what the word is, but I really do like the story, because I feel like, I'm going to admit something. We talk a lot about the men in the Bible that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love Peter.
Well, have you ever?
I know. Do. I don't like dislike him. He's not one that I'm like, he's not like a John or a Moses or a David to me, but I appreciate his ministry.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So I think I like this story because of that. Like, I feel like you really see the character development in Peter. Like, you see I feel like you see this humility of Peter, because he had just denied Jesus 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
He just was so, like, Peter just feels like he was just a lot to me in some of the stories. And I know I laugh a lot about the Mount of Transfiguration, that moment with Peter. And I know we've referenced it on here before, but for anyone who hasn't heard it, but I think it's the way that Mark tells it specifically, but he, you know, they're on the Mount, some mountain, and then Jesus transfigures into glory or something. I don't know.
Glory.
And Moses and Elijah. And is it just the two of them? Or is it a third one? Or no, it was three. It was Jesus, Moses, and Elijah.
Anyway.
And so, and Peter like doesn't know what to do. And so he's just like, oh, let's like build some tents. And I know what we should do. This will be great. Let's like, you know, everyone camp out. Like he it just is like, Peter, just like chill. Like just enjoy the moment.
Just
like
enjoy the moment.
Yeah. Like it just is like, you don't need to like do something in this moment. You don't need to like, you know, save the day or, you know, just, I don't know. It's just like, oh, I have a great idea. You know, he's like in the midst of Elijah and Moses. Anyway, it's just, I just think he's funny. He just seems like a lot to me.
So ironically, of course, I didn't know what you're going to talk about, but I think that this is why reading scripture and seeing the people that the disciples and just people, just everybody that walked with Jesus and had an interaction with him and how we look at these people or hear their stories and hear their, you know, the situation of the story. And one thing, you'll get something out of it, or you look at it totally different than I do.
And
I think that's true with than so many people. Because with that moment, and that, and of course, has nothing to do with John 21. But anyway, but with that, what I see that is that Peter gets so excited that he wants to do something. Like, here's the heroes of the faith, and like, he's just in awe, and he's seeing Jesus in his glory, and I feel like he wants to serve and do something. I don't think he's thinking about wanting to do and get really busy.
Well, no, I don't mean like busy. It just is like I feel like it really shows a lot of his personality, though. You see him be like, oh, I have it. Like, it's like, I have this great idea. Like, let me, you know, he just always is that way, where he's like, even when Jesus calls out Peter at one point, I don't remember where it is in the Gospels, where he's like, oh, I would never do that, Jesus. Like, I would never like fall away from you, or I never would deny you. And Jesus is like, or no, but the other moment too, when Peter is like, it's the moment where Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. I can't remember what Peter says.
Mm-hmm. This is what he said.
Oh,
they're talking about him dying. And he said, don't say that. Yeah.
Right. And so I think that's the thing where it's like, Peter just always has something to say, always is like going to interject, always is going to be like, oh, I know, like, you know.
And he always gets called out, and he also gets his foot in his mouth. And
I don't dislike him. He's just not my favorite. But I think I love this story because you see such a difference in Peter. Like, you see, like, really, and I don't want to read too much into the scripture, but I really, it seems like when he fails, quote unquote fails, when he denies Jesus three times, and he is so overcome with grief in that moment, it's almost like that was such a turning point for him, where it seems like from that moment on, like even in Acts, like he's just different. Like, I feel like like obviously it was a turning point, I like Peter but I think that's why, one of the reasons why I like the story is because—
You like the new Peter after the resurrected Peter.
Yeah, and not just like in a preference way, not just like, oh, I prefer his personality. I think I like him because it's like, he had this moment with Jesus where he failed. And this moment on the beach that you just read and that we'll talk more about, there is this like redeeming and restorative moment between him and Jesus— it's so much deeper. It's not just like, oh, I like Peter's personality better. It's more about the change that happened in Peter's heart and Jesus meeting him in that moment. Like Jesus being like, I know you feel like you failed. I know you feel like, well, maybe he did feel, not even feel like he, you know, he denied him and he, yeah.
I do believe there is a change in a person when they have really understood what forgiveness is about, when they really are humbled, or when they're, you know, they're so prideful. Like Peter's like, I'll never deny you. And he's like, well, actually, it's not going to be very
never
long.
Say never.
Going to three times.
Right.
Yeah, never say never. And I think there is those moments, and I'm sure, you know, we know that Peter went and wept. And then this is the third time that Peter actually has had an encounter with Jesus after the resurrection. And and I do believe that, you know, probably the first time when he saw him and her, you know, the women, you know, said, oh, you know, went to the tomb and there's no one there. And Peter runs and goes to the tomb. And so, and then they find, you know, together, and they're together, they're in the upper room, and Jesus comes in there. But I'm sure at that moment of looking at Jesus, I'm sure there was this humbleness, this like, I don't know what to say. But when Peter denied Jesus at that moment, there was no other encounter. And like he was on the cross. He went to the cross. Like there was no moment of where Peter could have said, you know, God, I'm so sorry. Jesus, I'm so sorry. You know?
Yeah, so I'm sure there's a lot of grief and a lot of, like I'm sure his conscience was guilty. Yeah, and shame. Mm-hmm. And
I do think that there's a change in all of our lives when we've come to the realization that we're capable of anything at any time and how desperate we need Jesus and our life, you know, is going a certain way. And we think, you know, we would conquer the world. And again, they thought that Jesus was going to usher in this new government, this new rule over the nations, this king, and now he's dead. And so I think there's a moment of a lot of those moments with Peter. So I do think he's changed. Of course, in this Pentecost.
Yeah. And I think too, though, like you're saying with, he had the moment where he denied Jesus, and there's such, like, I can't imagine the heartbreak and the grief that Peter felt in that moment, because I'm just like imagining if it, I don't know, if it was like you, like, you know, someone that you respect, that you love, that you've are so close with, and to deny him, because it also says that like Jesus and Peter like locked eyes after the third time. I don't know. Like I just would feel so bad. Like, I can't believe I just denied him. I can't believe that I, you know, just did this.
You know, Carrie, I know you love me, but I've been Peter. I thought, you know, there's some things that I would never do. And I thought, you know, times in my life.
Oh, for sure.
Of where I thought I would never do certain things.
Well, that's my whole life.
You find yourself in that. Yeah. And you're sitting there thinking, oh, you know, God, I can't. And you look back now that you have a closer relationship with Jesus. You look back now, I don't know about you, but I do. And I'm thinking, what was I thinking?
Yeah, like grieved by your own sin. Yeah.
Purposely just go and try to do something to destroy my life or my family or anything. So I guess it's some of the reasons why I love Peter. But I want to talk about this because I saw something today. You know, we've read, you know, this story over and over again. We love John. We talked about John a lot. And one of the things that as I was praying about this, because as you mentioned, you wanted to talk about it. And I started just reading it, you know, just chapter 21 over and over again. And one of the reasons why I wanted to read verse 5 is because Jesus calls them children. Jesus therefore said to them, grown men, children, you do not have any fish, do you? And they answered him, no. And as I think about, as you're talking about their relationship before the cross and then after and then now, and then we see later on, and I do want to talk about that, where God gave Peter that moment of time once again to not deny him three times, but to say to him three times, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do. And I think those are special, sweet moments. But I just find it so interesting that Jesus called them children. Now, these are grown men, men that walked with him. And I think that after the cross and after the resurrection, he sees them in a whole different light. Now he's their savior and he calls them. I think it's very enduring. We talked about, you know, how the cross and how much he loved us and went to the cross. And I feel like now he is calling them right in the place where they are. And he's saying, children, have you caught any fish? Why don't you come on and eat? And when they get to the beach and when they jump out of the boat, and we won't go, you know, to the situation that Peter and John, you know, ran and who got there first or whatever. But Peter jumped up out of the boat and got to Jesus. When he got there, Jesus was already cooking fish. And there's so many things. There's so many things we can talk about this in this chapter. But he does say, bring your fish. But I think it's so interesting that Jesus wants to feed them. And he's got the fish already there and ready for them. And it's like Jesus is saying, I'm giving you the fish to bring to me, but I'm already going to provide for you what you need. And you know, we could talk about these so many times. I think I texted you just the other day and said, how many things are we going to talk about in this chapter? Because there's so much there. And especially just the fact that Jesus had fish, was cooking them breakfast after the resurrection, but he calls them children.
Why is that interesting to you? Like, because I don't really think much of that.
Yeah, I just feel like it's enduring. I feel like it's like, I'm now going to teach you, which he's always been a teacher because he was, they're called disciples. Disciples is someone that learns from the master. So I feel like here, though, he's seeing them, the fact that Peter had denied them, the fact they were not at the tomb when he came out, the fact that they were scared to death up in the upper room, and he sees them in a whole different light. Like, I know that you are tender. I know that after the cross, this is probably, you know, very hard for you, and you're very confused, and you don't know what to do. And I just felt like it was a very endearing title. It was just children.
Yeah, I feel like they probably, I just thought of this. I always think of the disciples, like, after Jesus resurrects and he's, you know, on back on earth for that 30 or 40 days, however long it is. I always imagine that the disciples are super excited and, like, happy. And I'm sure they are to some degree because he's back. But I'm sure that there is so much, I don't know, maybe anxiety or fear or, like, uncertainty or just uneasy, because they probably know he's not going to be with them forever. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm so glad you're here, but, like, what is happening? Like, what is going to happen? What is happening? What do I feel? What do I think? You know, it's just like, I would imagine they're probably just like, what? I don't even know what to even do, which I think we do see that in some way because they go fishing. It's almost like this, well, I guess we'll just go back to doing what we always did. You know, we were fishermen.
Yeah,
and
a fisherman.
I guess that's what we go do. And not that that was wrong, but I think that also shows their, I don't even know what the word is, but just kind of like, I don't even, like, almost as like displacement.
They just don't know
confusion.
What the future holds.
Yeah.
What,
and like, what do I even do with myself in this moment?
Yeah, because I think we know that this was the third time that Jesus met them. So it wasn't like he was with them all the time. So there were probably moments of, where did he go? Like, what's he going to do? What's
like,
next?
Like, we'll be PTSD a little bit, you know? They had person die on a cross.
But I do love the fact that he, you know, it says this was the third time. In verse 14, it says that this is the third time that Jesus had manifested to the disciples. So, since he's raised from the dead. But I think that this is such a special moment. And he gives them breakfast. He cooks for them. He's serving them. And then he gives Peter, you know, the famous words, Simon Peter, do you love me? And then Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, tend my lambs. And again, remember, he called them children. Mm-hmm. And then now he's talking about Christians, disciples that will come to know Jesus through these disciples. And he calls them lambs. And he says, tend to my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, shepherd my sheep. There's different roles. We're going from a lamb to a sheep. We're going to tending to them, to now shepherding them. And then he said to the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, tend to my sheep. And I feel like as we're seeing this moment in the last story that John writes about Jesus after the resurrection, is that he's saying to them and teaching them, but he sees that they're going to be vulnerable. He knows they're going to have a hard time before, and he wanted them to be very intentional of why, like you were just saying, like, where is Jesus? What's now? Do we go back to fishing? And so I think this was a direction. This was Jesus saying, here's what, from now on, after I leave, here's what you're to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, because he called himself, you know, the good shepherd. So he's saying, feed my sheep and feed my lambs and tend to them. You're going to now shepherd them. I think that was a very sweet and enduring moment too.
I think it shows that no matter what we've done, as long as we like stay close to Jesus, because Peter was, I'm sure, dealing with a lot of emotional turmoil and it was hard emotionally, I'm sure. But he was still close with Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't turn from Jesus. He was still there. I mean, he ran to him as soon as he realized he was on the beach. You know, he wasn't stiff-arming Jesus. At least that's not what we see in the gospel, in the story. And so I think, like, there's so much of that, too, where it's like, even if we, you know, were to mess up or make a mistake, like, there's this restoration of Jesus three times telling him that he loves him.
Which is grace. Mm-hmm. Which is grace, because he denied him three times.
Right. And then also he's reminding him three times that even though you did this, I'm still going to build my church on you. I'm still going to, like, your calling is still here. It doesn't matter what you've done, but you still love me. I still love you. I'm going to remind you that three times, but I'm also going to remind you three times that your calling, your purpose, that has not changed. So, and I think that's like a huge thing too, because so many times we feel like we disqualify ourselves, or we have disqualified ourselves.
There's no way God's going to use us,
Or there's no way God's going to use us. And I think like that's such a powerful moment too, where there's this tenderness, like you're saying, of how he's speaking to them, but there's also such a like strong reminder of it didn't change what God had for Peter. Like it didn't change, you know, he still changed the course of Christian history. You know, I may not, he may not be my favorite, but he's still, I wouldn't be here probably if it weren't for him. I mean, I'm not Jewish. He was, you know, he spoke to the Jews, but
you know, I think what you're saying is true. And I think there's a lot of grace and mercy of God saying, Peter, I know that you deny me. And he knew Peter's heart, because we know that Jesus knew everybody's heart. And he probably knew of the shame and the guilt that he's going through. So he said, I'm going to give you, you don't change the past, but he gives you an opportunity to take, you know, to do something different. And it was like, Peter, I'm going to get three times, I'm going to allow you to say that you love me, even though three times you denied me. And it's like, that's grace. Not that it changed, like you said, it's not that it God's changed his motivation of why he picked Peter. He did pick Peter, and he's still picking Peter, even though after the denial. But, and I think that's what you're saying. And I think there's a lot of grace where maybe it was for Peter, it wasn't for Jesus.
Oh, for sure. I think it 100% was.
Yes. Yeah, for Peter. Because God was like, Peter, I know you're going to, you know, feel bad. And then he even goes on to say, someone's going to take your hand and lead you where you don't want to go. And I would have never guessed, if it wasn't written in the scripture, that Jesus was meaning that Peter was going to die for the faith. But it clearly says that, you know, some things are going to get hard. And he said, you know, you're going to, that people are going to take your hand and you're going to walk somewhere you wish you wouldn't go. Mm-hmm. And it says in there that this was signifying in verse 19, what kind of death, that he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to them, follow me. And I love this, because Jesus is feeding his disciples. And now he's saying to Peter and them, now you feed them. I'm showing you how to do it by grace and mercy and love. And you receive these people. But what I love that really is huge on this, and I know we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about it, but John comes up. Peter looks at John.
There he is. There's my guy.
And Peter is looking at John. He goes, well, what about him?
Yeah.
You know, because Jesus had just said, you know, you're going to die for me. And he said, well, what about John? He goes, what does that matter to you? Let's just, Peter, let's just talk about me and you. Let's just, you know, let's keep your eyes on me. You know, don't look left and right and quit comparing yourself. Quit comparing yourself. I have a plan for your life. I feel like it's these moments of where God was saying, Peter, let's just think about me. Don't think about John. Don't look left and right. And you know how many times we look at other people and look at other Christians and say, well, God, you know, I'm trusting you. I'm following you. And these people over here look like they're your favorite. God doesn't have favorites. He loves us all.
I love that the way, at least this is the way my translation, I'm reading ESV. You're in a different one. But I love how he says it. What is that to you? Like, if it's my will that he remain until I come, talking about John, like, what is that to you? And I just, like, to me, that just show, I love that. It's like a personality moment. I feel like you see with Jesus where it's like, he's not like, it doesn't matter. You know, it's, you know, I don't know, whatever. But it's just like, what's it to you?
Yeah.
And I do love that, because I think maybe we don't even realize sometimes, at least I don't realize sometimes that I'm comparing, but when I have those moments of like, why are you doing that in their life, or what, or why won't you do this in my life, or what, I don't know, like whatever it is. But if God's like, if it's my will that X, Y, and Z is happening in their life, what's that to you? It doesn't matter.
Exactly. And I love that.
And I think it also shows that we don't know what God is doing in other people's lives. So many times that we love to think we do, and preaching to the choir, because I think we all tend to do it. And I think we can look and see, like, there are some things that we can like we know God is always calling us to himself. Like, you know, there are things like that where we know that God is doing that. But we, at the end of the day, and I get so fiery about when I see Instagram or TikTok reels or, I mean, TikToks or whatever, just things on the internet where people are like saying of like, this is what God's going to do. And I'm like, you don't know what God's going to do.
Because you're not God. Mm-hmm.
But even in like one-to-one relationships, not even just on the internet, but it's like, it's just that too. If you don't know, what my will is for their life. Like that's between me and him. Was it to you?
And I think everybody's journey is different. I think that what Guy was saying to Peter is, Peter, I'm asking you to follow me. That's the number one thing. Just follow me. Don't follow John. Don't follow the other disciples. I think we get in groups and we get in these, you know, around these people and we start thinking, oh, well, God is doing this in their lives. God's going to do this in my life. I remember, you know, so many times when people would, you know, ask me about, like, how do I raise, you know, how did I raise your...
Oh, yeah, like, how did you get three kids who love Jesus? Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I didn't. And I didn't get myself to love Jesus. You know, Jesus, you know, loved me. And so I think that... That's one of the things that often I believe is one of the biggest sins, and I do call it a sin, because Jesus clearly says not to do it, and he clearly is saying this right this moment right before he goes to heaven, don't compare yourself, don't worry about it. And my translation
don't judge other,
says,
because ultimately it's judging the other person's walk or judging the other person's life. And sometimes I think we can look at judging as like, but sometimes we can judge in a way that, like, you think you know, basically. You know what I mean? Like, I'm, like, I don't know if that makes sense, but I think we, because that's ultimately what we're doing. We're saying, like, oh, you know, like, I know
what God's doing because I'm looking at your life. And I think the issue is that we're looking at everybody's life and coming up with an opinion or even sometimes a theology of what we believe God is doing and who God is and what he's going to do and how he's going to answer prayers and things like that, that we don't know. And, you know, we put God in a box and we think that we do this, you know, and we do that, then God's going to owe us or he's going to do the same, you know, with our lives as he's done, you know, with someone else. And I think that one of the biggest principles that really has that issue is in prayer. And the fact that, you know, if you pray and you ask God, then God's going to bring it. If you ask in faith, if you don't ask in faith, if you pray a certain words, if you pray a certain time, if you're on your knees, if you're standing up, you know, all those kind of things. And I think we put such expectations on our behavior that if we do certain things, God's going to fulfill and do what we think he should. Because you're looking at someone else and you're like, well, how did you get God to do this or, you know, whatever? And they say, well, I fasted or I prayed. And I do love this because I think it's so, I do think it's a personality thing of Jesus saying, Peter, wait a minute, stop, let me have eye contact here. You know, don't go over there and start looking at John. I'm talking to you. And Peter, you're going to die for my faith. And I think that was a huge moment. I think it's a great teaching lesson for all of us. Because even as believers and even people that are really devoted and surrendered their whole lives to God, you line them up and God may do in every single one of their lives different. Now, like you said, we're always going to be drawn and we're always going to be toward, our goal is always toward the heart of God, is always toward Jesus, is always, you know, near him, walking with him. That's always, you know, the bottom line. But our journeys are all different. And I think that's huge. And I think that's why John 21 is, that's got so much. I think even with Jesus having the fish first, it's like, no, I'm not taking your fish.
And it's on a charcoal fire, because that was the fire when Peter denied him.
Peter. He was on by a fire side.
So it's like I mean, I feel like the fact that is detailed in both when Peter denied him and also on the speech moment, I would be willing to bet that reason is because it probably like triggered in Peter a little bit of like, oh, like I, you know, last time he was sitting at a charcoal fire.
Yeah, never be next to another fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's Jesus.
So it was fresh on his mind, I'm sure.
And I do love the fact that Jesus set that up for him because I think that there was going to be some really hard times ahead. And I think those were special, intimate moments that God would always put in Peter's heart. Because I don't know this because I haven't talked to Peter, but I think that when Peter was going through those hard times, he may remembered those moments on the beach with Jesus.
Well, and probably, yeah, for him to never question his love, you know, that Jesus, like, kind of go back to what I was saying earlier, like, if Peter was ever had this moment of like, oh, is this happening? Or is this hard because I denied him or, you know, whatever. It's like he could always go back and remember that has nothing to do. Mm-hmm. Like, this is God's love and my call has not changed. It is the same, no matter what.
And I love the fact that Jesus gave him the fish, first time and the second. Even when they were dragging it in and bringing it in, they wouldn't have caught it. They'd already been, you know, fishing all night long. They couldn't catch anything. And Jesus said, well, go to the other side, like he did before. So even though they're dragging their fish to the Lord and giving it to Jesus, Jesus already had fish. He's like, I don't want your fish. But by the way, you didn't catch that anyway. I was the one that provided that fish. And I think when Jesus looked at Peter and all the disciples sitting around listening to him, and he said, I want you to follow me. I think that's what Jesus, exactly what he meant, is feed my children. Feed the people that are going to come to know you. And I don't think he means fish. I think he means the bread of life. And I think that's him. You know, give them, you know, give them truth.
Lead them to me. Yeah.
Lead them to me. I'm glad you wanted to talk about that. I like
it. Yeah. Well, what can I say? Thanks for talking about it.
And as we end, I'm excited about next week. I think we got a special thing happen next week.
Yes, we do. Stay tuned. It is unlike anything we have ever talked about before.
We've ever talked about. Yeah.
A little nervous about it, but it'll be good. If you ever wondered about our relationship,
tune in next week.
Join in
that conversation.
Spoiler, we have not.
We're not
going to
be on the beach. And I don't go fishing and feed you fish, but I'm excited.
Thanks for listening. I'm so glad that you could be a part of our conversation. To continue the conversation, you can find Dot on social media at Dot Bowen or visit her website, dotbowen.com. Subscribe, like, and share with your friends, and we will see you next week on Write This Down with Dot Bowen.